The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Media that isn't healthy and is rooted in fallacies and inaccuracies and exploitation and more, it can have a profound impact on us.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks for joining me. We're going to dive into a little bit more of that audio that you just heard, of course. It was Ritu, I think the last name is Boshin. And I don't know if you're familiar with garbage in, garbage out. I don't know if you've heard of that computing term. It means that, you know, if you're feeding a computer bad data, you're probably going to get a poor analysis. And I think the same could be said for the media that you consume. If you put garbage into your mind, what do you expect to come out, right? You need custody of the eye so often. We need to guard what we're putting in. And Philippians 4:8 says, you know, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever is just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things. And if you are watching and listening to things that propel you towards excellence and beauty, then bravo. If you are entertaining things that can perhaps darken you, then be wary, all right? Be cautious. It's a dangerous path to tread down. And in fact, you know, I worry about our kids, to be honest with you. I don't know if you've heard what Disney is doing. I've talked a lot about Disney recently. The Disney-owned channel FX is going to be running a new cartoon series. It's called Little Demon, and it's really a disturbing show. And here's the premise as described by FX on their website. And just to give you a little background, I'll give you some heads up on this. 13 years after being impregnated by Satan, this is from their website, okay? 13 years after being impregnated by Satan, a reluctant mother, Laura, and her antichrist daughter, Chrissy, they attempt to live ordinary life in Delaware, but are constantly thwarted by monstrous forces, including Satan, who yearns for custody of his daughter's soul, end of quote. I have no idea, personally, why anyone would want to make a show like that. How do you pitch that show? You know, and how do executives say, yeah, this is going to be great. Everyone's going to love this. No, not everyone is going to love that. In fact, you're going to get a lot of kickback from it. The Parents Television and Media Council, I saw some analysis they did. They said in the first three 30-minute episodes, they found out, just listen to this, get a load of these numbers if you can digest them, 173 instances of explicit language, 45 instances of violence, including graphic, gory violence. There's sexual content, including animated female frontal nudity, vulgar slang, references to male and female genitalia, vile sexual innuendo, and a main character who gets turned on by violent sex. And yeah, maybe you should turn the radio down. And I should have probably pre-qualified this. I'm talking about this stuff. Look, I'm trying to censor what your kids are getting. Apparently Disney's not, right? There's imagery of, there's cult imagery in there. There's Christian bashing. There's drug use. It goes on and on. I won't go through any more details. That comes from the Parents Television and Media Council. That's just, by the way, in the first three 30-minute episodes. I mean, why would you want your kids to watch this? Really? You want to expose children to this type of vulgarity? Why would, you know, Walt Disney is probably turning over in his grave if he knew what ever happened to the company that he founded. I mean, it's unbelievable. And hand in hand is Christian bashing, right? Drug use, all these things that are just so detrimental to kids. So a couple weeks ago, I reported to you that Disney had been getting so much negative feedback, they decided to cancel the show, right? And I thought that was the case. I'm going to do a mea culpa because, unfortunately, that was incorrect. I'm sorry I gave you wrong information that was given to me that, hey, guess what, Drew? Several people emailed me and said that. So I thought there was a source out there. That's not the case. That's why I'm bringing this to you again. Disney is still going ahead with this garbage. You know, if you have Disney Plus, I'd cancel it, right? If I'd write to Disney if I were you. I wouldn't frequent their parks. What else can we do? And above all, maybe pray for them, right? pray for their conversion. Powerful platform used for really dark and illicit forces, reasons, or purposes, I should say. So, you know, now when a broadcast company comes up with a show, they look for sponsors. This is the other side of the table. And they say, okay, let's get some sponsors. We'll see how they can help pay for it, right? Well, the Parents Television and Media Council, guess who's, they found out that this show, and again, I'll give you the name of it, jot it down and let your children and your children's children, let those, you know about this. The show's called Little Demon, okay? Little Demon. So the Parents Television Council, they went ahead and they said, well, who's sponsoring it? Check this out, right? Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, is a sponsor of this garbage, along with Yum Brand chain, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. And, of course, those restaurant chains, they cater to what? Families, right? They cater to families. Again, I go back to my point. Garbage in, garbage out. That's what you're getting. KFC advertises their big meals, and their families go out to, you know, people go to Pizza Hut all the time, right? They take out, delivery. You see minivans with Taco Bell, you know, in the drive-through lines regularly. Parents filled with their kids. So what they're saying, when these companies, you know, these companies are saying, yeah, you know, we think this is a good thing. You know, we want you to buy our products, right? We like Little Demon, you know, so we're going to sponsor it. What the heck is going on, right? Why would any company think this is a good idea? Again, I'm not going to frequent Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, KFC. When I'm aware of these things, you can do a small part. And you can say no to it. And that's what I'm going to do. I was putting this before you. As I said, the program's Little Demon. I won't go through the litany of things again. But I will invite Tim Winter, who's the president of the Parents Television and Media Council. We owe him a debt of gratitude for doing the due diligence and research into who is behind this garbage and the impact it's having on our kids. If you want to learn more yourself, do this. Go to parentstv.org. Okay, that's their website. parentstv.org, because you might say, oh, I want to share this with my kids, but I forget what Drew said. Two ways you can do it. Go to my podcast. When the show's over, Maggie will have it up, and put it on your social media. All right? Send the link to this show, this hour. Send it out so everybody can learn about it. And also include that link, parentstv.org, so you can learn more. Hey, Tim, thank you for your time. It's good to have you with us. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm grateful for it.
Hey, Drew, good afternoon and your listeners to you and your listeners from Hollywood. And I also want to thank you for that beautiful scripture that you read at the beginning of the segment here. That it's precisely what we're talking about when it comes to the hearts and minds of our, especially of our innocent kids and grandkids, and what they're being force-fed through the entertainment media from Hollywood.
It's just so creepy. I don't understand the rationale. You know, sometimes I'll see these TVs or even these movies that are pitched or commercials that make it to air. And I sit back and I'm thinking, how did you pitch that? I've pitched TV shows in the past to Fox. I had ideas for different things, you know, and I've thrown ideas out, and I know what the pitch process is like. And sometimes I see the stuff that gets to air, and I'm thinking, what did you do to convince somebody to say yes to that? This is a terrible idea, this Little Demon show, on so many different levels. I can't imagine that Disney is not feeling pressure from families for coming up with a series. What's being done? Are they getting any reaction to this? Are visits to Disney and Disney World, Disneyland down? What do you know about the reaction from families?
Yeah, the reaction has been swift and powerful. You mentioned some of the corporate sponsors, the advertisers that are sponsoring this show. Over the last several weeks, every single week we have issued an email blast to all of our members. And thank you for pitching our website. You can sign up for our e-alerts. We will send something to you every week as far as here's what's going on in terms of the task at hand. But we sent out email blasts to a couple hundred thousand of our members across the country. And we said, okay, this week, here's the main sponsor of last week's episode. And the response was swift and powerful. And what was interesting, after the first week, T-Mobile sponsored the first episode. And after the first week, they did not appear on the second week after we talked to them.
Praise God. That's great.
The second week, Burger King was in our crosshairs because Burger King was a sponsor. And then the third week, Burger King all of a sudden disappeared. Wow. Olive Garden, Sonic fast foods. It's one after another. Every time we send out an alert and folks email these companies and say, hey, I'm a consumer and you're offending me, you're violating my family's values, Why would you want your hard-earned brand, corporate brand, associated with this type of material? The response has been 100% positive. It was 100% positive until Pizza Hut snuck back on the show last week. Unfortunately, Pizza Hut came back on, and so we're talking to them. We're also talking to Lexus. Oh, and wow. also to, I'm blanking on it, on the other, Jared Jewelry, Jewelers. We've sent private emails to Jared Jewelers. And our hope is that they hear that they will be held publicly to account for underwriting with their advertising dollars this type of content. And I appreciate you being so careful in describing that content. It's even worse than what you described, some of the stuff this last week. I fear even mentioning it here, I won't, because right. I don't want to violate the sensibilities of your listeners.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I just got an email. I don't know if you can confirm this. Kentucky Fried Chicken, did they just drop their initial decision to sponsor this show? Did you mention them? Are they one, or are they still on board?
KFC, we went after them last week, and this in the most recent episode, they were not on the show.
Okay,
however, their cousin, corporate cousin, Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut, yeah. KFC, Taco Bell, all owned by Yum Brands in Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah. And Pizza Hut is still on the show.
Well, all right. Well, we got to continue to, you know, so what can people do on this? I mean, there's a lot to talk about here, but I'm just thinking, okay, we can boycott by not frequenting the you know, buying your pizza from Pizza Hut, right? It's a simple way of doing it to make kind of a silent protest. Do you recommend people write? I mean, is there petitions out there? What do you recommend that people do to say, hey, enough's enough when it comes to this stuff?
Yeah, and I've worked here in Hollywood for almost four decades. I was in the industry on the finance side, and trust me, it really does come down to dollars and cents for those who produce and distribute this stuff. It comes down to those advertising dollars and subscription dollars too. When it comes to the advertisers, just boycotting them is certainly one thing you can do and is a silent protest. But unless and until they actually hear from you as to why, they won't understand it. They won't take it to heart. It's when lots of people come together at the same time and speak out about a thing that they've done to violate sensibilities. Only then do they have to step back and consider, hey, look what we did, and now we're getting some pushback. Yeah. If it's just a silent boycott, they don't know what the reason is. Why? We must make sure they know what the reason is.
Well, thank you for saying that. I agree. You know, I'm not a big fan of boycotts. Because I think you really need to be consistent with them. But I think complimenting whatever you do with a letter makes a big, big difference. I'm sure for every letter they get, they know that represents X, you know, how many more people behind the scenes that maybe share that same passion. You know, you laid out,
true.
No, you laid out in a press release the decision-making process that corporate suits that these companies had to go through. Because I sit back here and I think, you know, how do you pitch this? One, two, but how? I mean, how do you accept this? How do you say from the business side of the table, this is going to be great, right? This is going to be great for our investors. This is going to be a profitable endeavor. Can you give me some background as to what happens? You know, the decision making process that corporate suits at these companies go through, when it comes to making these decisions. And you know, I don't know how they somehow get pitched. I've tried. Go ahead. Let me leave it at that.
Yeah, sure. So just by way of example, if we think about Pizza Hut and, you know, their corporate brand cousins, Taco Bell and KFC, when you think about if you put yourself into the position of an executive at those companies, who are your likely buyers? Well, certainly the families are a likely buyer. There's also a young single person, usually male, 20 to 30 years old. And you're going to get a lot of folks going to Taco Bell, going to KFC, going to Pizza Hut, who, you know, of that demographic. So you think, okay, what television shows appeal to a young single male 20 to 30 years old? And what their ad agency does is they look at all the different shows, what shows are generating that kind of a viewer. But what they don't think where their calculus fails and just falls apart is they don't stop to think, well, are there maybe people who will be attracted who watch that show? Will be attracted to my product. But what about all the tenfold more people who will be offended and outraged by it? So they seem to only get half the equation right. Okay, there are young single males that are watching that show. Go buy it because then my advertisement will hit the people I want to see it. But what about all those other families who are going to be angry and outraged? That's where our voices count, where our voices matter.
Outside of Little Demon, I'm curious as to what other programs are on your radar right now that we should be aware of. Is there anything else that you guys are highlighting?
How much time do we have?
That's a softball, right?
Yeah. You know, there are a number of shows that are increasingly popular on platforms like Netflix that are very disturbing, very distressing. The number of shows, you know, the PTC's mission originally was to protect children from the sex violence and profanity that is so pervasive in our entertainment media. And now so much of mainstream Hollywood has chosen to sexually exploit children for entertainment. Shows that depict kids in sexually explicit situations, sometimes with adults. Disney actually has on their streaming platform Hulu a show where there's a romance between a high school teacher and her student, and they call it a love story. And it's every parent's worst nightmare to think that their child is going to have a sexual predator in the form of a teacher. So you go back to what Walt Disney stands for. You know, in recent months and recent years, I scratch my head. I have friends who have worked there for decades, and they even tell me privately the company is almost unrecognizable from what it was and what it is now promoting.
That's amazing. It really is. You know, my producer Maggie and I were talking before the show, and I was telling her we were going through the rundown for the broadcast, and I said, I can't wait to talk to you about this, Tim, because I'm just fascinated by it, and that people will think pitching Satan is such a great idea. It's going to get lots of ratings, lots of money, lots of sponsorship. And I think about the percentage, and I don't know how the exact number. It's somewhere in the 80s, 85, 86% of the population professes to be believers in Jesus Christ. So why not a show about Jesus, right? You could do one about Satan. Why not one about Jesus? It seems like a natural. What is it about Christianity or Jesus himself that, you know, you don't see those types of ideas pitched, yet the demo out there is pretty large when you come to people who claim to be believers in him?
And further to that point, you find historically the well-produced, well-acted, well-directed, you know, really good production value programs that center on positively on faith usually do extremely well financially. You'd think, gosh, look at all the money that's to be made here. And somehow, you know, in Hollywood, there is such a mentality of it's more cool to push the envelope, to shred the envelope. Sure. The creator of Little Demon said, we're going to push as far as Disney is going to let us go. And look how far they've let them go. And they said, we're going to keep pushing. That seems, and so many folks here in town seem to think that that's more important than actually delivering the largest possible audience and the largest possible profit financially to their corporation, which tends to be publicly traded on the stock exchange. You'd think that corporate America would want more profit, but sadly, it's a very ego-driven, narcissistic environment of the production and distribution here.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you again for the effort that the Parents Television and Media Council is involved with. And I know you're the president of it. I hope people will support it. I'm assuming it's parentstv.org is the best place to go. I'm assuming you're probably a nonprofit with a .org, maybe not. But I hope people will support your efforts and especially frequent your site. And we need you. We're outnumbered, now gunned. And I think it's so important that people at least have that information. So keep up your good work, and hopefully you and I can talk again soon.
I like that, Drew, and thank you. And yes, we are a nonprofit. Our only source of support comes from charitable contributions, so we are grateful.
I know what that's like. So keep up your good work, and hopefully people will get behind you, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you,
Drew. Winter. He is president of the Parents Television and Media Council. If you value what they do, get behind them, support them. I'm a big fan of that, and especially share the link, parentstv.org. Share this conversation with others. I said Maggie will have our broadcast up in about an hour. And it's the third hour of today's broadcast. And share it with your kids. Share it with others. Make people aware of what's going on. Get them plugged in to the know. I have to take a very short pause here when I come back. It raises questions for me, though. I think about this type of programming. Is there any spiritual grit that rubs off on you when you watch this? Look, we're in this season, this final week before Halloween. Lots of horror movies that are out there. Can movies be cursed? Can demons come through television? Is it a good idea to even let your kids watch this type of stuff? We'll speak with Monsignor Stephen Rossetti when I return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
And so when you have these kind of incidents of horror that are presented in literature or in film especially, that just show you something that's disgusting, it's really a coming to terms of the fears related to our own corporeality. That's our fear that the world in which we inhabit is ultimately out of our control. And it's out of control that the natural world is not just ours to kind of command. So it's our discomfort with our lack of control over the natural world that makes us construct monsters in our minds and then have to kind of deal with that fear that way.
You're listening to Drew Mariani on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was a Catholic priest, Father Steve Bruno, sharing his thoughts on horror movies and how they tap into the fundamental human experience. And I want to talk about this for just a moment, if we can. We just talked about the horror that comes from Disney, right? You know, with a program called Little Demon. I remember reading a piece by Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. And the headline grabbed my attention. It was from Exorcist Diary. And it said, "Demons from Television." Demons from Television. Is it possible that entertaining this type of darkness can somehow open you to spirits? Is it possible? It's the time of year, right? You're going to be exposed to this. It's Halloween season. That means that people all across the nation are, you know, they're going to gear up for, you know, haunted houses, and they're going to be, you know, getting ready to dabble in the occult. So often we see people playing with Ouija boards or having seances and doing stuff that is just absolutely spiritually dangerous. The question for you, though, is what about watching horror movies? Is it just innocent fun? Can you watch a horror movie? Can you watch something like the show Little Demon? You know, is the horror genre just simply that, something for entertainment, something that is not really inherently that dangerous? Or when you come into proximity to the occult, whether it's through a cartoon, an animated series like Little Demon, or whether or not it's a horror movie like The Conjuring, you know, does it bring with it anguish? Does it bring with it, you know, some say bad luck, actual spirits? I have this belief that when we brush up against evil, when you entertain it, when you dabble in it, when you expose yourself to it, it leaves a taint. It leaves a taint. Leaves a stain. And it's especially true of the occult, whether you're dabbling with mediums and astrology, fortune telling, whether you deal with pendants, the New Age, you know, whatever it might be. There are real spirits that hover over those who are involved with what the Bible calls witchcraft. And I want to look at that today. So we talked about just the fundamental danger of indoctrinating your kids with the Disney programs that dabble in the occult. But what about entertaining this stuff, especially this time of season? It's going to be on television, you know, you're going to see all sorts of stuff. And just very quickly, because Monsignor Rossetti is going to be stopping by, I want to get his take on this. These movies, these films based on the dark side. A friend of mine, a guy named Michael Brown, wrote a great piece years ago. I remember he and this is really where he kind of opened my eyes to this. He said that this stuff can open, it can carry a dark spirit, is kind of the words that he used. And he says, take a look at, you know, what happened behind the scenes of the Exorcist movies, right? There were all these accounts of strange happenings on the set of the Exorcist when they were doing that movie, right? Spooky apparitions were reported. One point in time, the building, right? Buildings spontaneously combusted. People died. They succumbed in these weird, fashions. The movie director quit. He died unexpectedly on a routine back operation. One of the stars, I think, was Liam Neeson. He dropped out. The new director was fired. The third was struck by a car on location in Rome. hospitalized with a broken leg. Coincidence? Well, maybe. Is there something more? The same thing has happened during the filming of other movies, that carry this preternatural theme. For example, Blair Witch Project. I had read somewhere years ago that this guy, that one of the cameramen on it, he died in a shocking death. He died in a plane crash. Again, coincidence? It could be. I mean, accidents can be an indicator of evil, though. The manifestations occurred when they were shooting Close Encounters, right? Steven Spielberg, he reported, poltergeist phenomena in the crew's hotel room. And of course, when there is just a blatant use of the occult, these types of things are very, the examples become extreme. I mean, if you take a look at the big picture, if you zoom out, nations that harbor occult religion, they also harbor these bizarre outbreaks. So there's a lot of cases we can point to, but my advice to you is stay away, right? Involvement in anything with the occult can bring with it actual demons. When we touch the occult, when you're proximate to it, it can touch you. And I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying this to warn you. And I'll give you the antidote, and then we'll talk to Monsignor Rossetti about it, because we could talk about TV, we could talk about shows, we could talk about movies. I'll open the phones for you, too. You can get in at 888-914-9149. Feel free to ask your question. Feel free to share your experience. 888-914-9149. It'd be good to have you join the conversation. The antidote to this. What is the antidote? It's very simple. Confession and the Eucharist. Those powerful sacraments that we have in our Catholic Church, our Catholic faith, they've got to be done with a very fervent, sincere renunciation of all these past practices. Well, I was once told that you talk about exorcism, people instantly go Hollywood on that, right? One sacramental confession is worth more than 10,000 exorcisms. Think about that. So I really encourage you, if you've been away from the faith, if you feel oppression, if you feel depression, if you feel anxiety, if you feel division, if you have suicidal tendencies, if there's a stubborn, intractable problem, if there's an emotional problem, there could be a connection to something in the spirit world. And I just say to you, get to confession. All right, that's your first step, because that'll cleanse you of all those hidden occult taints that I speak of. All right. It's a delight to have with me today a man who I have a lot of respect for, a man who writes about this and really pulls back the veil to this reality. It's not often talked about, yet I think it's critical that we are aware of it. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti joins me, president and founder of the St. Michael Center for Spiritual Renewal. You can check them out. It's a nonprofit Catholic organization that oversees exorcisms, but he's also a licensed psychologist. He's a research associate professor at Catholic University of America, and he is the author of The Diary of an American Exorcist. He joins me today. Father, good to have you back. Thank you, Monsignor, for joining me.
Drew, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I just got done talking prior to you joining me today with the Parents Television Council about a series that Disney is putting out. It's called Little Demon. I'm not sure you're aware of it or not. And some of the stuff in this is occultic. It's also lewd. And it makes me wonder, because parents think, oh, this must be innocent and it's just entertainment. Watch exposing children to this in particular, and we can zoom out and we can take a look at horror movies and television in general. Does it open a doorway to a spiritual taint, to a particular darkness? I know it's a very broad question, but let me throw it to you.
Well, Drew, I mean, it's a complex question, but some initial thoughts. Well, the first thing I would say is, as our culture, throws out Christianity, our young people will believe anything. And some of the things that are coming out of their mouths are just shocking. They'll talk about, Satan is really your friend, yeah, and I'm practicing good, I'm a good witch. And, of course, when you see this modern portrayal of witchcraft, whether it's a little demon or Harry Potter or any of these things, I mean, the real problem with these things is they say, well, I'm a good witch. And what they don't realize is that when you practice magic and witchcraft in the occult, you can't do good with it. And you're aligning yourself with Satan. Now, people get mad at me for that, but I'm sorry. That's 2,000 years of experience of this. Right. So that's the first thing. When these young people are watching these television shows, especially because most of them are not brought up in the faith anymore, they start believing it. They say, "Well, I'm going to be a good witch like Harry Potter. I'm going to be the good witch like the." Or I'm. I've got my in my social media account. Mm-hmm. One young woman comes and says, "I'm practicing witchcraft and I'm controlling demons." And they're going, "What?" I mean, she really thinks that she's controlling, you know, the demonic, and that's just nonsense. I mean, the demons are controlling you. You're their,
that's right.
their minion. So the first thing I would say about all these modern TV shows and stuff is that they're teaching our kids very dangerous things.
And with no doubt about what they're indoctrinating and teaching our kids. But what about the I don't know, the and I don't want to scare people, and I want to be balanced on this because, you know, it doesn't happen to everyone. But I had read somewhere that people often reported that, you know, they've had these demonic encounters, these experiences, evil spirits in areas where mm-hmm. they have, where there's been illicit sex, where there has been the practice of Reiki, where there's been occult rituals, where this stuff has been glorified, in places where there were TVs, where the televisions, you know, and mm-hmm. I just wonder if that is a portal of some sort when you entertain the occult, when you expose yourself to it, when you allow that stuff to be exposed to your family and in your home. Yeah. And I don't want to scare people, but in some respects, is that something we should be cautious about and protect our families and our children from?
Well, Drew, here's another thing I would say. I mean, there's lots of things I'd like to say, but yeah. here's another thing I would like to say is that, for example, the church says very clearly you should not have anyone in an exorcism who's not prepared. They're yeah. living a spiritual life, as you said, going to confession, going to Mass. And if you're living a protected spiritual life, you can go through an exorcism with someone and come out okay. But if you walk into this encounter with evil yeah. and you yourself are vulnerable to it, you can easily have a problem. I had a guy one, for example, who was an alcoholic and wasn't living a very good life. And he developed this unnatural interest in so these Halloween things and then these yeah. these supposedly haunted places. So he kept going to all these places with this unnatural interest and these personal weaknesses. He became fully possessed. And so we took us a year of praying over him. So I would say when you open yourself up to an unnatural delight, if you will, or interest mm-hmm. in evil, and with your own mm-hmm. vulnerabilities, sure, you can have a huge problem.
Yeah. My guest today, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Let's go to the phones, Monsignor. We'll start in Pasadena, California. Dr. Jennifer Nolan has got a comment or a question for you. Doctor, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment briefly and say that, yes, my husband and I have known for years that when we get exposed to something that is not of Christ, that it, you can feel it. There's an mm-hmm, oppression mm-hmm. that comes with it. And oftentimes yeah. what we do is, so Francis McNutt published a book years ago mm-hmm. on deliverance from evil spirits. And one of the things he recommended is a cleansing prayer. And this is, yeah. so this would be, I mean, obviously it would be a lot better to be able to make it to confession and communion, but to do something immediately after is so helpful. And so my husband and I have this prayer memorized, and every time we get exposed to something that is of the occult and, or not of Christ, we just say this cleansing prayer, and yeah. it really is helpful. It's very helpful. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there as a possibility.
Well, yeah, Jennifer, absolutely. I mean, at the end of our exorcism sessions, we always say a rather lengthy cleansing prayer. So I would say yes, yeah. I mean, immediately. And sometimes, no, absolutely, also, when we're involved with something evil, it kind of gets, we call it getting slimed feel yeah. a little bit, you get slimed a little bit. And so what we do is we say these mm-hmm. cleansing prayers. And sometimes when right. well, it sort of sticks long, even with the cleansing prayer, like one of the priests will come to me mm-hmm. and will say, you know, I'm still got stuff on me. I mean, I'll pray over him again. And wow. so sometimes it takes yeah. more than one prayer. So absolutely. I mean, I like, and by the way, on our app and our website, CatholicExorcism.org. Mm-hmm. We have lots of cleansing prayers there. So like Dr. Jennifer Nolan and her husband, yes, anytime you feel the need, use those cleansing prayers, and we'll throw holy water on ourselves as well.
Yeah. Hey, Doctor, are you the same Dr. Jennifer Nolan who's the president of the Catholic Polytechnic University?
Yes, I am.
It's good to have you call
in.
I'm delighted to have you.
Thank you.
Have you here. How long is that McNutt prayer? Where did you get that?
It's not that long of a prayer, and I'm sure any other Catholic cleansing prayer would work.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's what I recommend really is having it memorized, though, because then you can just pull it out anytime, any place, and just say it. And basically, my kids are memorizing it just
That's
because
awesome.
In our culture, we get exposed so often, and it's just like, you know, if you're playing in the dirt and you've got dirt in your hands or gardening, you go wash your hands. So this is a matter of just it's a lot like washing your hands. You just don't want the stuff attached to you because
kidding.
You will feel that oppression and depression and temptation to sin. You know, it's just not a great situation.
And I once heard a prayer, and maybe one of the two of you can talk to us, but Monsignor, maybe you've heard of it. There's a Father Nicholas Federspiel who's been a regular guest on this program. I think he's been involved in deliverance as well. He gave me like a 10-word prayer to say, if you ever feel that there's a darkness or an oppression or somewhere around there. And he simply says this. He says, the prayer is, I claim the protection of the blood of the Lamb. I claim the protection of the blood. He says it's very, very powerful. So I'm sure there's lots of these types of prayers out there. Dr. Nolan, how long is yours? A couple sentences or is it longer than that?
It's I'd say a couple paragraphs. It's pretty intricate, but it does work.
That sounds great. I'm grateful for it. We'll have people look for that one as well. And Monsignor, of course, they can go to your website as well. I was on I was out of the country not too long ago, and a priest that I was with, he says, you know, when I started, Monsignor, he says to me, I start blessing my room when I go in there. And he says, there's this beautiful prayer that people can say, like when you go into a hotel room, you don't know whether there's been illicit sex, there's been abuse, there's been a murder, a suicide. You don't know what goes on if you're staying in a hotel or some other place. And he told me about this deliverance prayer to pray when you go into a room like that. So I'm trying to do that. In this last trip, I did that. Some people can't sleep. There might be a reason for that. Again, if people want these deliverance prayers, you want to quickly give your website once again?
It's CatholicExorcism.org. The app is called Catholic Exorcism. And but I would say, what Jennifer mentioned and you mentioned also, that we basically ask the blood of Jesus to wash over us, from the top of our heads to the very soles of our feet. We ask the blood of Jesus to wash over us and cleanse us. We ask the Blessed Mother to spread her mantle over us. May the holy angels surround us and protect us. So I invoke those three things, the Blessed Mother, the holy angels, and the blood of Jesus.
All right, let's go to the phones. Robert's listening in Southgate, California. Robert, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Drew?
Hey, I'm well. Thanks for dialing in. Go right ahead.
I had a question. You know, I'm a 40-year-old man, but ever since I was a kid, I was into, like, magic and, like, entertainment and, you know, card tricks and stuff like that. And when I was in high school, I saw a show of David Blaine on TV, and it intrigued me. So fast forward now, 25 years later, I bought tickets for a show coming up next weekend in Vegas. Because I want to see him live, you know. I heard this guy hovers and he catches bullets with his teeth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, is that like participating in black magic, or is it just like an illusion, or what?
Robert, I'll tell you what. Hold the thought, because I need to take a short pause here. When we come back, we'll answer that for you. Monsignor Rossetti will give you some insight. How about magic shows, magic in entertainment? How about David Blaine, who claims to levitate, right? There's so much we can talk about. If you're just joining us, my guest today, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, we're talking a little bit about Disney's new show, Little Demon, and ultimately whether or not you as a follower of Christ should be entertaining occult television programming or even horror movies or magic shows. We'll answer those questions and more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show. Drew Mariani Show. On Relevant Radio.
This hour sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
I put a spell on you.
You're listening to Drew Mariotti on Relevant Radio.
I put a spell on you. Good afternoon. It is good to be back here with you today. Thank you for joining me. It is a delight. I had been away for a little while, but it's good to be back to give you a look at life. Hopefully you're not going to find anywhere else. And if you missed any part of our conversation today, I just want to remind you, go to our podcast. Maggie will have the show up in about an hour after we're off the air here. And you can download this, listen to it, and share it with others. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking today with Monsignor Rossetti. And it's always fun to have him with us today. He's the author of The Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. And it's good to talk. And we're talking just about the type of ways that we sometimes brush up against this darkness. We entertain it and it seems evil. Is it okay to watch a Disney program like Little Demon? Is it okay to watch Harry Potter? Is it okay to watch The Exorcist or The Conjuring or some of these movies? And what about on another plane outside of Hollywood and movies and TV? What about people who entertain us with magic? You know, some of this could be very innocent, right? There's nothing wrong with a magic show or maybe even the horror genre. In the end, quite often these horror movies, like The Exorcism of Emily Rose, The Exorcist, I should say, that particular show shows, you know, evil being vanquished. It can show you the power and the authority of the church. So, Monsignor Robert from Southgate, he called in, he's on hold listening to us right now about his fascination with magic and its entertainment value, and he just bought David Blaine tickets. And Blaine does all sorts of wacky stuff. It's pretty amazing as you watch him. Even claims to levitate. Is it okay for Robert to go ahead and to watch that?
Well, I don't know about Blaine's magic show. And during the break, I was actually doing a little research, and there is some question about, you know, what is the underpinning sort of is it just a kind of sleight of hand traditional magic show that entertains people, or is he invoking deeper dark powers, you know? And
I'm sorry, that was Robert's phone. I put him on hold. Go ahead. Go ahead, Monsignor.
And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think if I were going to that show, I would do some research first. What is it? What does he claim? Does he, you know, if he claims to be doing good magic, like the Good Witch, I'd say, no, stay away from it. If he's just doing these sleight of hand tricks, which like Houdini did, well, that, you know, that's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, his show, I would think, is more like a Copperfield where they do these. I mean, this is all trickery. I mean, he doesn't really levitate, although it's a pretty amazing trick that he does. You know, catching bullets in his teeth, you know. These are illusions. So watching something like that, I personally don't have a problem with, but you're the expert here. So you're right. If there's an occult, you know, connection to it, I'd stay away from it. But I don't know if Blaine has that. Robert, do a little bit of research and go ahead and check that out. I want to talk about those who make the case for arguing that there is nothing wrong with the horror genre, at least in principle, right? I mean, all things can be taken to an unhealthy extreme, and there are certain kinds of movies that you don't want to watch. You know, The Exorcist, for example, in the end, you know, it shows how Satan was vanquished, right? And a lot of these horror movies end with good conquering evil. Are they okay to watch, or are these movies like The Conjuring and people playing with Ouija boards and some of this other stuff? I mean, do you have to make that distinction yourself? I mean, what filter do you use when it comes to whether or not you should watch something?
You know, I have my own little filter on this one. Well, first of all, people need to be living a holy life so they're not vulnerable to this stuff. But my own little filter is, you know, when I'm watching a show, does it give me a bad feeling? And I'm starting to say, oh, there's something wrong with this. And there may be something wrong with the show that you don't even know. I was reading a story recently about a show about witchcraft, and it said that actually there were real witches on the show, and they were actually cursing people watching the show.
Wow.
And I think they're calling them good curses, or I don't know what there was. But basically, you know, there might be things going on that are not right. So I kind of, that's one of the things I use. How am I feeling about this? And another thing I use is I don't watch shows that glorify evil. There is an inversion going on where people are talking like good vampires. Well, I don't believe in the existence of vampires, but a vampire really is an image of a demon, and there are no good demons. So when people start exalting, promoting evil, I say this is not good.
All right. My guest today, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, will take a few more of your calls. Our number, 888-914-9149. We'll go to New Jersey. Joe's listening to us there. Joe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Father. Thanks to Relevant Radio for leading me to the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. An elderly lady gave me a picture of Jesus. It looked a little, had like light hair and light eyes. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I put it on my desk. And every once in a while, I got a strange feeling that he was looking at me like he was mad at me. And then my daughter came by one day, and she says, Dad, that's a weird picture.
Yeah.
So I spoke to my spiritual advisor, and he told me to go see the exorcist for that province, which I did. And I brought the picture with me. And he, as soon as he saw the picture, he said his skin started crawling too.
Wow.
So he did some blessings on it, and we took it out in the back. We burned it.
Yep.
And ever since that, it's subsided greatly.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. Can something like that be cursed? Can a holy image be cursed?
Yes. In fact, there is some stuff about rosaries when they look like normal rosaries, but when you actually look at some of the metals on them, they're actually demonic. And for example, like Santeria, which takes holy images like St. Michael and the Virgin, that sort of thing, but they actually are assigned to a demon. So you think you are doing something holy, but you're not. So that's why you need to know where your holy objects come from, and then we have them blessed, of course. And and so, but I think that it's good that that guy sensed that this thing was bad.
No kidding. Hey, Maggie, why don't you open your microphone? Maggie was telling me about a friend of hers, I think, that has a tarot card framed. Maggie, share with Monsignor what you were sharing with me not too long ago.
Yeah, well, I guess one of these tarot cards kind of resembles this person's last name. And I don't think it's like a poster size of this image. I don't think it's ever been like used as an actual tarot card, but it is the image. Mm. And every time I look at it, I think, how do I lovingly say something to this person about the fact that that's probably not good that they have a tarot image on their wall?
Yeah. Buy her a picture of the Blessed Virgin. Say, why don't you put this up instead?
Love it. Love it. Got it.
Yeah, but Monsignor, for those who may not know what a tarot card is, I mean, why don't you give it just very quickly in maybe about a minute or two, it's dangerous to have the Ouija board or tarot cards or any of those things in your home.
Yeah, they're all divination things, all these card readers and fortune tellers and, Ouija boards. You're always invoking some of these nameless spirits, which are almost always demonic. And so, especially tarot cards, my gosh. If you actually go online and start researching the history of tarot cards, it's not good. So stay away from any sort of divination. The Lord wants you to know about the future or something, he'll tell you. Other than that, let's just stick with what the Lord teaches us.
I'm with that. Final thoughts, too, because I talked about the power of the sacraments, right, using confession and especially the Blessed Sacrament. With sacramentals, you know, holy water, miraculous medal, St. Benedict medal, blessed salt, you know, these types of sacramentals that we have. How efficacious, how effective are they? How powerful are they? Why should we use those?
Well, you learn that. One of the graces of being an exorcist is you watch what happens. You hold up a cross and go, Ecce, crucem Domini, behold the cross of the Lord. Fugite partes adversae, depart your evil powers. I mean, the demons start screaming, you know. Throw some holy water on them. I just did one the other day, and the possessed person started screaming, say, it's burning. It wasn't burning. It was cold water. But this, you see the power of the church's sacramentals casting out evil.
Monsignor, thank you for making time for us today on short notice. I look forward to our next conversation. I got to leave it right there, though, because I'm up against the clock. And I know people want to check you out. Best way to go. It's your website once again. We want to give that a quick plug.
www.catholicexorcism.org. Right. And Monday night, we have an online deliverance session. So you pray right. with us.
Thank you, Monsignor. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. Before I wrap it up here, and I would ask you, I believe very much in the power of prayer. Father Rocky had sent me a quick text before the show saying that there is something pending that could have an impact on souls, untold number of souls, and it would be for the good of the church and for the country. And he's asking for a memorare. We have up to 7 p.m. tonight. So I'm really going to ask you to pray in earnest in the hours ahead for this particular intention. And if you would join me now in a memorare, we'll invoke the powerful intercession of the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petition, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. I am back, and I look forward to talking to you in 21 hours. Until tomorrow. May God bless you.